until death do us part. Are there five other words in the human language that have been more devastating to people's lives than those five? And I would argue that probably these five words have a stronger meaning for most men than women. It's like you're swearing an oath. It's like you're committing yourself in a way that you're not fully aware of in the moment. When you agree with the "I do" that normally follows those five words, you don't fully comprehend it. But the full meaning of it and how it's going to impact your life from that point forward becomes really, really apparent very quickly. So today, I want to talk to you guys about the brutal truth of marriage, why it's an institution that has outlived its use, how it's destroyed men's lives for decades, perhaps centuries, and what the solution is. How do we solve this problem? How do we create an environment where perhaps marriage survives, but just in a completely different form? This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. When I was 10 years old, I played football for the Pearl Harbor Vikings. We were not a professional team. We were not a college team. We were not even a high school team. We were a bunch of little kids wanting to play football. This was the first year I played tackle football. I was very excited to play. Had to go into a draft. They took this stuff very seriously back in the day. Because I had no football experience, I was drafted pretty low, as you might imagine. Anyway, so I get to the first day of practice in the summertime. It was like in August, because we did the same thing the pros did, of course. And meet the coach. He is a Marine Corps drill instructor. And his sidekick is like a corporal in the Marines. These guys are motivated to win. They only want to win. Winning is what it's all about. There was no room for losing. There was no room for losers. From that day forward, throughout the rest of the summer, I think it was like 2 weeks, we practiced every single day in the sweltering afternoon heat. We ran hills, we ran laps, we ran drills. When we finally got our pads, it seemed like a relief, but oh no, that's when the real work started. They were live tackling drills. One person was the tackler, the other one was the tackling dummy. The techniques they used back then would be considered child abuse today. Even the physiological tasks that they had us performed from a kinesiological standpoint were completely inappropriate and stupid. It was miserable. It was miserable in every shape and form. Once school started, we were just down to 3 days a week. We won every single game. Nobody had fun. It sucked. It sucked for everybody. I wanted to quit that thing so many times. My dad said, "Nope, you committed to it. You committed to it. You got to see it through." So I saw it through all the way to the final pizza party at Pizza Hut, where we all got to slap each other on the back and tell each other how great it was. But we all knew. We were scared to lose. Losing was not an option, not because we were bonded together as a team. It was because the alternative was too horrible to consider. We had run those hills. We had run those laps. We had performed those drills. We knew the sadistic bastard that ran our team. And we did not want to disappoint him. No siree. This is a lot like marriage. You know, once you've committed, you've committed. And if things aren't working out, if you want out, sometimes you're just faced with the lesser of two evils. It's like, okay, I can either sit here and endure this, and hopefully death will come quickly, or I can leave this institution and go through the emotional, psychological, and financial trauma that inevitably will follow. So we are locked in. We are locked in. That commitment, till death do you part, plays a huge role in the way we see our relationships with women, our marriages. Failing in a marriage is akin to failure in life. Socially, financially, psychologically, emotionally, It is a devastating experience, and men will do almost anything to avoid a divorce. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you actually did something for yourself? As a man, with all your responsibilities, with family, work, kids, whatever, it's easy to not take care of yourself. And I think this leads to a lot of the problems that we have, especially as we get older. Your face is your interface, if you will, with the world. How people view you essentially comes through the way you appear. Whether you like it or not, that's just the way we are. That's why I'm proud to be sponsored today by Teague Hanley, who has a full line of skincare products specifically for men. Their whole process, which is quite in depth, only takes about 2 minutes. It will help you not only be cleaner, but it'll help you look better, look younger, look more vibrant, look more like a healthy guy. People are drawn to healthy people. Whether you're in a relationship with a woman, or you're just trying to close good business deals, or you're trying to develop strong relationships with your coworkers, the better you look, the easier it gets. Over the years, as I've gotten older, I've looked into different kinds of skincare products because I could tell I wasn't looking my best. That's why I was so happy to come across Teague Hanley. Their products are very lightly perfumed, if any at all. The smells like a masculine smell. The products are designed exactly to do the things that you want them to do. They're reasonably priced. And they sort of answer that question, like, what am I gonna do? Well, now you don't need to think about it anymore. It's already built into a system, and Teague Hanley's taking care of all of that. So I strongly suggest you take a look at them. I think that you will find that their products are quality, and the method is simple, and the results are excellent. Teague Hanley is a well-established company. They've shipped over 3 million of these boxes to men around the world. And if you go to their website, you'll see that they've received over 25,000 five-star reviews. So guys everywhere are very satisfied with this product. If you hit the link in the description, not only are you gonna get 40% off, but they're gonna send you a free gift worth 20 bucks. So what is there to lose? This is a win-win situation for you. Don't hesitate. I don't know how long these offers are gonna last, but I would certainly give it a shot. You've got very little to lose and an awful lot to gain, especially, like I said, if you're getting on a little bit in the years, it makes a big difference in protecting your skin and keeping that face of yours a nice place for people to visit, you know? If you're into American sports and you have not been living under a rock, you have probably heard about the scandal involving Patriots coach Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, in my estimation, is a great man. This is a guy who played in the NFL for 14 years, from 1997 to 2011. He was not what you would call your top player, but he was a very, very good player. He was transformational for the position. He did things that no one else had done at that linebacker position. He was an extraordinary player. And lasting 14 years at a position that requires that kind of grueling, you know, intensity and physical punishment is a testament to his toughness as a man. After his NFL career, he went into coaching, and I can't remember how long ago, it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he picked up a job coaching the Tennessee Titans, a team that has not had a lot of success. And he was able, in a very dysfunctional organization, to bring some success to that team. But as most NFL coaches do, he got fired a couple years ago, and he was granted his dream job. He, I'm sure, from the time that he played with the Patriots, always wanted to coach the Patriots. And he finally got his chance. And after a couple years of coaching, he was able to steer that team to the Super Bowl, which is the highest, like the championship game for the NFL. And they lost, you know, but he had built something great, and he became the coach of the year. Anyway, so this last offseason, he was spotted at some adult club with a reporter named Diana Rossini. And it didn't take a lot of imagination to see that these two were obviously involved in some kind of a relationship that was probably more intimate than what a sports reporter and a coach should have. And I'm not going to get into the ethics of that at this moment, because obviously that goes down a whole nother rabbit hole. But I do want to talk about is Mike as a married man. So he got married, I think the same year he got drafted, back in 1997. So he's been married for almost 30 years. Now, I don't know the intimate details of his marriage, obviously. I do know that they've had two kids. They're both grown. They're adults. They're gone. But if you've been in a long-term relationship with a woman, you've been in a long-term marriage, and you've raised a family, it seems like you've gotten to a point where you've sort of crossed the finish line. You know, you've gotten to that place where you've gone through the trials and tribulations, sort of like, you know, the 14 years in his NFL career. He did all the hard work. He did what was necessary to get the job done. And now he's at the end, and he's onto his life 2.0. Diana Rossini is an attractive woman, but she's not like you would call like a 10 or anything like that. I mean, she's not a, you know, a bombshell, but I bet they had a lot to talk about. I mean, she's covering the NFL. I bet that their conversations were pretty intense, and I'm sure the attraction was pretty strong, you know, just because there was so much in common. Now, his wife, Jennifer, was an athlete back in college, and I'm sure that that was probably a lot to do with how they got together initially. But now, 30 years later, that isn't true anymore. Whatever was there that created that bond with him and Jennifer reached its end. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a relationship running its course, with it performing a task, raising a family. And then you get to a place where you realize that you're not the same guy that made that commitment 30 years ago. You're not the guy who said, "Until death do us part." That guy truly is dead and gone. That guy truly has passed away. His physical, you know, structure, his cells have all been regenerated like three times over that course of time. You know, he is physically not the same guy. Emotionally, psychologically, he is a different man than he was 30 years ago. Yet, because of those five words, "Until death do us part," there's a great deal of pressure and shame associated with not honoring that commitment. And for a guy who is honorable, and I think that Mike Vrabel is an honorable man from everything I've observed. Now, I don't know him personally, obviously, but I do believe that about him, because I've seen the way he's behaved in difficult situations. I've seen the way he has behaved as an athlete and as a coach, and how he's been able to lead people and how he wins the respect of the people around him. So I'm only assuming that he's a good guy. You know, I'm assuming he's a good guy. I'm assuming he's the kind of guy that most of us would be real happy to sit down with, maybe have a beer or two and talk with, you know? But because of this situation with Diana Rossini, and because he happens to be a married man, as this is going viral, you know, I'm sure it's causing an enormous amount of destruction in his relationship with her, with Jennifer. It's causing friction with his, perhaps with his sons as well. It's causing a lot of internal turmoil for him, you know. It's putting him in a very, very, very difficult situation. He is being judged by people because he broke his vow. He is no longer holding to the vow of "till death do us part." My argument is that "till death do us part" is a ridiculous vow. It doesn't belong in the relationship scheme anymore. That may have applied, you know, 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 10,000 years ago or whenever this shit started, because you only lived to be like 30. You know, so "till death do us part" wasn't that big a hill to climb. You know what I mean? But now, you do get a life 2.0, you know? You can be married, have children, raise a family, and now you're 50 years old. Now what are you gonna do? Now you're gonna still hold fast to this decision that you made when you were, you know, 25, you know, or 30 or whatever? You're still gonna be that guy? No, you're not. You can't be that guy. That guy is gone. That guy doesn't exist anymore. The guy who made that vow is gone. You're just the guy carrying the memory of that vow now. You know what I mean? You're just carrying the memory of what that vow was. And now you're being forced to live by it, even though you are completely different. Now I realize I may be taking some liberties with the Mike Vrabel story just a little bit, because I don't know Mike Vrabel. I've never spoken to him. But I've spoken to enough guys that are very similar to him in terms of being very successful in their careers, being honorable men, and being faced with a very difficult situation later in life, after they've been married for 20 or 30 years, and they realize that their relationship has run its course, that it's spent. Like, there's nothing there anymore. The relationship has died, yet it still keeps on going because of those damn five words, till death do us part. You're still in the game, despite the fact that you have nothing left to give. Like, there's no more, the clock has expired and you're still on the field. And this is my point with marriage. This is the brutal truth with marriage, is that it has completely outlived its use as a tool to regulate and manage modern relationships. We are living many more years than we used to. We can have several different lifetimes during a single life. When you think about your childhood, and your adolescence, and as a young person, and then as a middle-aged person, and then late middle age, which is where I like to think of myself at age 60, and then finally when you're a senior, you know, and then maybe even in convalescence. You know, there's a whole nother end of life kind of life that I know we all dread it, but there's a lot of quality in that end of life experience as well. So there's lots of different aspects to life that we are wrapping into this till death do us part kind of thing, not taking into account the changes that are inevitably going to occur to us as individuals as we grow and change through these different stages in our lives. And the needs that we have at age 50 are different than the needs that we have at age 25. Do you know what I mean? And till death do us part is like the axe that hangs over the neck of men all over the world. It's like if you decide to end your marriage, you are a bad guy. If you decide to seek comfort outside of your marriage because your marriage bed is dead and your wife doesn't really care about you anymore, then you are a bad guy. You become the dishonorable one, you know? Suddenly a life that was built on hard work and building a strong reputation and being an honorable guy gets tossed out the window, And because of that, men all over the world stay in marriages that they don't want to be in. You know, we talk about the divorce rate being 50%. If you were to account for the number of people, the number of men that do not want to be in the relationship that they're in, that if they could get out easily with their head up without very much financial pain, they would do it. I would imagine that of that remaining 50%, at least another half and maybe more would want out of those marriages, leaving a very small sliver of people who, after say 20 or 30 years of marriage, really want to see this thing through to the end, really, really want to be till death do you part. We all hold in our heads the dream of till death do you part. We hold in our mind, the dreams of sitting on the rocking chairs and watching the sunset and playing with the grandchildren and all that stuff. It's a dream. It's a wonderful, sweet dream. But unfortunately for most of us, it's not to be. That this idea that we're carrying around with ourselves, you know, day to day, and using as an excuse for staying in this marriage that no longer functions properly or is useful to you or even feels good on a daily basis, is really a delusion. It's not a dream. It's delusional. It's a myth. It's something that we're gonna maybe create some reasonable facsimile of on an occasional basis from time to time. But it will have been forced. It will have been faked. It will be a fraud. And that is the truth about marriage as we get older. For the vast majority of us, it's just not working anymore. And there is no reason for us to continue with it. It's almost shocking to me that despite all of our technology and all of the changes in tradition that we have absorbed, have endured over the last 100 years, going from pre-industrial to post-industrial to a service economy to, you know, changing our ideas about marriage and relationships and gender roles and gender equality and homosexuality and now transgender and pronouns. We have completely changed the landscape of relationships and how we fit into them over the last 100 years, completely. And yet marriage, this traditional idea of till death do you part, endures. Why is that? Why is that? Because it doesn't make any sense. And the vast majority of people will agree with me. It does not make any sense. We could build alternatives to this that would make sense. We could create a contract that not only takes into account the beginning of the relationship, but also builds into it the end of the relationship and creates an agreement between people that accounts for a lot of the changes that may occur and have that contract come to an end at a particular point in time where you say after 10 years, 20 years, whatever it may be, you set the time, you set what this the purpose of this relationship is, say to raise a family, for example, and you arrange for the termination of the relationship at a future date. And then if at some point or for some reason you guys decide that you want to renew this contract, you could do that. You could then start a whole new thing. Maybe you go for another 5 years. Maybe you'll take it on for 10. Maybe it's just an annual renewable thing. But you don't need to have this axe hanging over your head because of these five damn words, till death do you part. That's an unrealistic expectation. You know what I mean? It's just not, it doesn't make any sense. You can take on a car loan till death do you part, a mortgage till death do you part. No, you want options. You want to be able to sell that damn car. You want to be able to sell that house. You want out. If you change your opinion, you don't like the neighborhood anymore, you don't like, you know, the car anymore, the breed, the brand of the car, whatever, you want to get out. Find out you got a defective car, you want out. You know, you don't want to stay with it. You know, there's no lemon law for marriage. That's the problem. There's no lemon law. You're stuck. You're stuck in it. And the only way to get out is to make a decision that's going to cost you emotionally, psychologically, physically, and financially. You know, it's going to blow up your relationship with this other person that you one day once loved a long time ago. And now you very well may be enemies at the end of this thing. It may be vindictive. It may cause destruction to the relationship you have with your children. I mean, there's just so many negative aspects to divorce that are so far reaching and can cause so much damage, not only to the individuals, the man and the woman involved, but to all the people around them, their children, their grandchildren, you know, and it can go on for generations. You know, it creates this air of anger and resentment, and it's just so painful and so avoidable, you know? So my suggestion is that until someone comes up with something better, why would any man enter into this horrible, horrible arrangement? There is no benefit to the man or the woman. I'm not even talking about men here. I mean, this is just anybody. This is just anybody. Why are we continuing the ridiculous idea that marriage is a lifelong commitment? It's stupid. And with these divorce laws that we have in place now that are so punitive to the person who is carrying the water for the relationship, if you're the person who's responsible for the financial survivorship of this relationship, you're the person who is paying all the bills. You're working your ass off to pay these bills. If you're that person, so that you could create a space for your spouse to stay at home, be a mom or a dad or whatever, to take care of those kids, because you honor those kids and you want them to have the best possible scenario, and you're gonna sacrifice for them. Well, now you are gonna continue to sacrifice from now on. You know, now you are the one who's gonna pay the biggest penalty for this relationship. Where on earth does that sound fair or just or make any sense at all? How is that even a thing? You know what I mean? Why are people entering into these relationships knowing that the legal system is so unjust that it will penalize the person who makes the biggest sacrifice? Anyway, I'm sure I can get lots of arguments on that. I'm sure lots of women will say, well, what about my sacrifice? I had to get up every morning with those children. My God, I had to buy extra pairs of sweatpants. You have no idea how many pairs of pajamas I've been wearing for the last 25 years. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to go down that path, but you guys get the idea. This marriage thing, it's a hoax, it's a disaster. It's not something that you guys should enter into. If you're in one right now that is bad and you've got that axe hanging your over your head, I am sorry for you. I am deadly sorry for you. I really hope you find a path forward where you can get out. For most people, You know, it's either you stay and endure it and just deal with the pain, because the alternative is worse. So you have two bad choices, either stay and suffer or leave and suffer more. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it, please share it with them. Until next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.